Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by B2B marketers for B2B marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, though, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. It's time that we stop producing invisible B2B marketing and instead start telling stories that sell product and fast-track careers. So says business marketing consultant Mark Schwakey. And Mark joins us now. Mark, welcome to the podcast.
I'm delighted to be here, Dave. Thanks for having me.
It's so good to have you here. And I think I'm right in saying that you feel so strongly about this topic that you've gone and launched a leadership program to actually set out and make that happen, right?
I'm annoyingly committed to the problem, yeah. I think, listen, I've been in B2B marketing for a large chunk of my career. And I notice over the years that, and something you and I were talking about just before we went live, is the propensity to make your own luck, and then the act of being lucky. And I've never settled on whether I believe in luck or fate. I think there's probably a blend of everything, if that's not too middle ground for your listeners. But I do see that there are too many ways for B2B marketers to be closed off from influential leadership positions. Okay. Throughout the way B2B organizations market themselves, there is too many closed doors preventing marketing from adding really true value. And that's on both sides. That responsibility is on both sides of the coin, right? It's marketing people not feeling qualified or confident to push, and perhaps leadership teams not really understanding or having experience for themselves the value really good marketing can provide for their organizations. And so you get this situation where people grow older in B2B marketing, people grow more experienced, they get more experience, more expertise, they know more, they know they could do more, but actually they're, as they grow, their careers kind of stand still. You know, B2B marketing manager in some organizations doesn't do a lot less than B2B head of marketing, or, you know, sometimes even marketing director. I've seen marketing directors excluded from strategic business conversations and left to do campaigns and promotions. Which is fine if it's working for you, but what I yearn for is to demonstrate and illustrate some of the examples I've seen where marketers are not over bold. You know, sometimes they might have to make themselves a bit of a pain in the ass, but they are confident and qualified and equipped enough to go and have genuine leadership and strategic conversations around the business, and that's where marketing can have a real effect.
So you've talked about invisible B2B marketing. Is it those people who are kind of excluded from the top table? Is that what you mean by invisible B2B marketing?
Invisible marketing comes from an organization not appreciating enough what great, brave, smart, risky marketing can do. Okay. And what they opt for safety. They opt for, if I was to go and buy a wardrobe from IKEA this weekend, I'd just have to make a disclaimer. No, I'm not going to do that. Don't worry. Nobody's going to celebrate that if I do. But if I was to go and buy a wardrobe from IKEA, I kind of need it I know I'm going to have the bits and the screws and the wood. I know I'm going to have the instructions, which are going to be unfollowable for me. But I need it to look like every other wardrobe. I'll look at the wardrobes and the shelves and in IKEA, I'll go, right, it needs to look like that. That's because you need a wardrobe that's going to stand and hold your clothes. Marketing shouldn't be the same. We opt for safety and we opt for same because we think that that's going to work. We think that if they've made that work, and often they haven't, but from the outside, the external point of view, if they've made that work, then we should be able to make it work. And if we match them, then we're in the mix for somebody's business. If we're doing the same as them, then and all that results in is three or four competitors in the same market sector offering the same services. And often they are the same, so they're very similar in service or product. But if the marketing's the same, then all you're giving your customers to choose on is price, and suddenly you get a race to the bottom and nobody wins. Whereas if you can find a way of not sounding or feeling like anybody else and doing something different, and different requires creative and creative requires brave, okay? If you can do something different and elevate your... The only real definition when it comes to it of building a brand differentiation, a distinct, strong, appealing and powerful brand, is that you're making a promise and you can deliver on it. Mm. And the longer you do that, the more accumulative the power comes. But let's say you do it on day one. You make a different promise with a different outcome to anybody else through your marketing. Somebody's going to give you a go and somebody's going to trust, and you engender that trust where the others are just a race to the bottom, the price, can I get a discount, or, you know, well, they're giving it to me for this much, can you do it for this much? If I offer a brand, something specific and distinct and appealing, then somebody somewhere is going to come and give me a go. And the more that that happens, the stronger that brand effect is. And this is just marketing 101. The leadership program you've talked about is, what I've seen is, listen, there are millions of brilliant courses out there, absolutely stunning courses that will give you lots of skills and practice and disciplinary functional skills. Do digital marketing better, do ABM better. This is not that. If anyone's looking for better email marketing courses, that's not what mine is about. What I've decided to do is launch what I think is about the only, I can see, the only, it's a 9 or 10 week course that teaches you to do stuff that marketers can't generally do in B2B right now. Talk, have difficult conversations with the CFO. Understand how to budget a campaign properly beforehand so that when you're talking about a bigger, bolder, braver idea, you're not just talking about making a splash. You're actually talking about, this is our go-to-market strategy. This is the customer we think we can get. This is how we win and where we win. And we're going to need to do this to do it, and have conversations with them that engender trust and get you working, understanding a balance sheet and working better, sounding and behaving like a leader. So
I want to come on to the detail of the leadership program that you're talking about in a moment, but I'd like to just come back to the invisible B2B marketing point, because I happen to know that your background is in PR, right? So you've deliberately given me some pejorative words like invisible that obviously make me think, oh, I don't want invisible marketing. But, you know, you could also claim invisible marketing is kind of option that actually does suit organizations that feel like they're in a very, let's face it, the whole environment right now that practically every organization is in is a really risky environment for us to be able to play in. So actually something that is lower risk, something that is, you say invisible, it could be stealth. I think it could well be that actually now post pandemic is the time not for brave marketing, but actually something that maybe you call it dependable marketing. Maybe there's something in that. And I'd just like to kind of push back on that a little bit and really make sure I'm understanding the difference between invisible or boring and visible or brave.
Okay, very, very quick caveat before I answer what I think is your question. When you were talking about stealth and risky, were you talking about maybe doing quieter, more considered marketing because of a data privacy thing, or because the risk is because the trading environment is difficult? What were you actually?
Well, I was thinking more from the trading environment perspective, right? So yeah. Actually, it's a very, very unstable environment we are all in at the moment. So actually, what you want are some things that can be dependable. So yeah. Actually, something that forms more of a convention, now might be the time yeah. for that.
Totally understand, and it's a really great pushback. Here's my take on it, though, Dave. I don't think there's a direct and necessary correlation between doing something brave and doing something that sort of almost lacks credibility, responsibility, dependability, trust. I don't think that exists. I think okay. if you think about marketing, your marketing department, and by the way, let's face it, in most B2B sectors, you are looking for trust. You're absolutely looking for reliability, dependability, credibility.
Yes.
Things not going to break down. If you're building parts for airplanes, right, and that's your market, you don't want to be doing creative, wacky stuff at the expense of somebody thinking, I mean, I love the color, but really, I need something that's not going to fall out of the sky. There isn't... I'm not talking about creative and wacky for the sake of it, and I'm not even talking about creative and wacky. Nobody heard me say that W word before I just mentioned it.
That's true.
I'm talking about
marketing. You did use the creative word, though.
Yeah, and creativity is good, Dave. Creativity. Let me talk about this. Marketing department is the like me, remember me, think about me, talk about me, and buy me departments. It's the I want to be remembered. The invisible stuff is the stuff that comes across your timeline or the poster on the tube that you saw today, but you can't even remember. It's the stuff that looks like everything else, sounds like everything else. The business language that we think we have to use, sometimes I'll read it 14 times, and not only does it not mean anything, it's the same doesn't mean anything as three other things I read earlier today. It's the part where you go to a conference and an exhibition, and you walk past four stalls, and you pick up four brochures, and you could actually swap the brand logos of the brochures and it would still mean the same. So like, it genuinely doesn't matter. There's no brand distinction. So I'm not talking about... I think B2B marketers are maybe understandably quite suspicious about the word creativity. But I'm not talking about clowns and flowers and balloons and music. I'm talking about the act of stripping away all the clutter and garbage and ridiculous pompous jargon and the legacy of feeling like I have to sound like this because my customer wears pinstripes and works in a bank, and actually finding a story that resonates. And that doesn't have to be, again, we hear a lot about B2B, make it more human. Like, what else is it going to be? We sell to humans. It's not about making it more human. It's about finding a story and understanding your customer so wholly and entirely that you know the story is going to hit and resonate. And I think Rory Sutherland, who I'm sure you know, said something to me, it will have been more than a decade ago now because I was still at Marketing Week as the editor. And he said, you know, if you think creativity is expensive, try logic. You know, creativity is the act of stripping away all the stuff you don't need and being left with the tiniest and most important part that you do need, and going in on that and getting rid of all this stuff. So I honestly think if by the way, I understand the creativity problem with B2B. It's the same as if I talk about brand. I don't talk about brand to most B2B buyers. I talk about reputation because it's how they see it, and it means something to them. If I talk about brand, they see it as fluff and unnecessary, and what is this guy in the room for? If I talk about their reputation, they all sit up and lean forward because they know that losing that is expensive.
I think that's right. So we've got this situation, though, where marketers have been invisible, and they've been invisible for a reason. So I guess what you're saying by having a leadership program is that the reason why marketers have been invisible is because of the marketers themselves. Is that true?
Yeah, I think if I was to try and cluster all the B2B marketing teams I've ever known, or worked with, or experienced, or led, or managed, or whatever, I think you could say over half of them, to be conservative, have fallen into marketing through, I don't know, through PR or through something, and they weren't trained. They weren't, you know. There's a movement out there right now being led by people like Joel Harrison and people like Mark Ritson and people and others as well. Rory's got his own course to qualify ourselves, to equip ourselves. And why wouldn't you? And by the way, there are enough. I know how I feel about them, but again, I'll be polite. There are enough people there out on LinkedIn saying you don't need qualifications. Read these 10 blogs, and it's the
equivalent. It'll be fine.
Yeah. You know, like qualify yourself on YouTube in 17 and a half minutes while, you know, having a bath. You can do it. It's free and it's easy. And that's the way the world works now. I'm talking about understanding the balance sheet. I'm talking about understanding strategy. I'm talking about understanding your impact and your requests and your need for buy-in against the priorities and the wants, the wish list of your client success guy, of your product guy, of your CFO, of your, you know, your sales director, your, like, making sure absolutely everybody wins, and making sure that even if you don't have the job title yet and you don't have the remuneration yet, you're making yourself really unbelievably useful to the strategy people and the leadership and the CEO, so that just by the very nature of your behavior and contribution every day, they want you in that meeting. The meeting you wouldn't have been invited to 6 months or a year ago. So what I'm looking to do is teach marketers, by the way, there's a load of marketing, modern marketing now, that they need to teach me. I don't know all the tools and the apps. You know, there's new stuff every day. And if I can learn any of that, brilliant. But honestly, there's something that's not being taught to marketers. Now, if you've got £1,895 plus VAT, you should absolutely go and take Mark Ritson's mini MBA. It's phenomenal. I've done it myself with a team of marketers. It really is a proper 101 and return to what marketing is all about. And it is stunning. And there's loads out there, but I don't believe there's B2B marketing leadership training until the course that I've just launched. And I've got the first cohort on it, and it seems to be going well.
So I've got to ask, what are your qualifications to be able to run a B2B marketing leadership program?
It's a really, really horrible question. I swear on my life, I hadn't taken any marketing training formally until Mark Ritson's mini MBA. And do I take that mini MBA and then walk around thinking I've got an MBA? No, do a hell. It's not, you know, it's 12 weeks, and it's, you know, it's 2 or 3 hours a week. But there is stuff I've learned on the way about how to act and how to behave and how to get more out of an organization, how to find myself in the right rooms and the right conversations, and how to carry myself and what to think about and all that. I've made mistakes, and I've learned sometimes the hard way. But I'll tell you what I do have. I was always, in the book, I call them misfits. The people that are very, very rarely understood and hard to hire. I've always been relied upon in every job I've ever had, even when I was a junior reporter on the South Wales Argus newspaper. I was relied upon as somebody to ask, and somebody to get the advice of, and somebody to listen to, and somebody to put in front of the leadership when we needed something to represent us. I don't know why. I enjoy pushing. I enjoy sort of, I believe in values like fairness and empowerment and teamwork. And, you know, I never really sat still. The Coca-Cola CEO once described me as constructively discontent, and he nailed it. You know, that was, I mean, that's how I feel. I feel like I've never ever been able just to sit back, enjoy a job for its 9 to 5, hate it during the day, but love spending the money. Not really bothered about how good we are, certainly not bothered about how good we sound. Keep your head down, stay out of trouble, keep your nose clean and last for as long as you can. I've never been that person. I've always been about bringing people through, developing people, making sure that we ask the question, why, and is this really good enough? And I suppose the ultimate qualification in other people's minds, certainly not my own, is that when you write a book, you might sell 1,000 in the first week. You know that of that 1,000, only you and your mum read it. But the fact, and this is how crazy it is, the fact that you've got a book, somebody says, well, he knows his stuff. And yeah. So what that then does is I go and work and train the Adobe B2B marketing workforce. I go and do stuff for in Singapore and in India and learn about, you know, winging it to a certain extent, going in with a view, listening as hard as I can, learning as quickly as I can, and delivering something. And yeah, am I qualified? I'll tell you, it's for somebody else to say, but I just got a note just today at the end of the first week from one of my new students who said, thoroughly enjoyed that lesson, really did resonate. Some of those challenges, very good, very fun. And I sent her the optional extras that I'm asking students to dive into this weekend if they've got time.
And fabulous. So,
yeah, it feels good for now. I'll tell you, that's horribly wrong.
So if people have been really interested in what you've had to say and buy into the need for something like that for themselves, what should they do?
Come and have a conversation with me. It's learning and development. Some of you will have a budget within the organization that might not cover a whole course. Some of you won't have a budget at all given to you by your organizations. Learning and development is absolutely not a must for any one year. It really isn't. It can't be, especially in, you know, we might be, I think we've just gone into recession according to the news yesterday, and things are tight everywhere. There's a cost of living crisis that's been all pervasive across every level of every demographic. But think about it this way. 2024 could be another year of plodding on and feeling cowed and doing sales support and very little else and not really feeling like you've made it anywhere. If you had any inkling on January the 1st of a different kind of career trajectory, making a move this year, different job in mind, a pay rise that you were aiming for, you've got to take something with you to that next step. You have to have something different about you from the last time they asked or you asked and you had that conversation. And even just having that conversation, there's a skill and a lesson to it. So I would say that learning and development is the training yourself, qualifying yourself, even if it's just about confidence and validation, is a really, really terrific piece of a success story from now on. If anybody wants to get hold of me, they can on LinkedIn, or they can call. They can. My details are on the website shwakecreative.com, and I won't sell. I'll have a conversation. I'll ask them what they're after. I'll ask them what they're about. I'll ask them how their day is going at work and the challenges they face and the things that they really want to do. And we'll see if it suits them. It doesn't, I'll never have a situation where I'll be training hundreds of thousands of people, I suspect. So I'll only ever be training a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of 1%. And so I want the right people. I want the people who it can really benefit.
Mark Shwake, I really wish you so much luck, because as we say, you make your own luck. So much luck with your leadership program. And thanks for joining us today.
Dave, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Have a great weekend.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Mark Chueke. Thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. And thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.